The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living. And thanks so much for joining us today. This is my very first show and I am so excited to be here and to have all of you here too. If you're dealing with elder care issues or see that in your future or know someone who's dealing with elder care issues, which is pretty much the entire world, then this show, Age-Wise Living, is for you. Helping your aging parents is one of the most loving things you can do, and many parents willingly and lovingly accept their children's help. Unfortunately, not everyone's parents see it that way. So as much as you're trying to help, the life of a caregiver can be draining and stressful and overwhelming and frustrating, even filled with guilt or resentment or anger. And as a result, a lot of family members will just drop difficult elder care issues and hope that everything just magically resolves itself. Or, if that doesn't work, just wait until it becomes a crisis. The good news is it doesn't have to be that way, and that's why I'm so excited to be doing this show. Every week, Age-Wise Living is going to focus on topics and issues that will help you help your aging parents, and in the process, reduce your stress and frustration and guilt, as well as enable you to have a better relationship with your parents and with your siblings. Now, since this is our first show, I'd like to start by telling you a little bit about me and who I am and how I got here. I've been a care manager now for more than 25 years, first for my grandmother for many years, and now for the past 17, a little over 17 years for my mother, who has advanced dementia. She actually now lives in a nursing home. So if you're stressed and overwhelmed, I know just how you feel. Now, as I said in the beginning, some elders willingly accept help, and that's how it was with my grandmother. Taking care of my grandmother was easy because we were very close. Well, I guess the word easy is not the right word because there was nothing easy about it. But no matter how hard it was, I didn't care because we were so close, I wanted to do it. In fact, one of my sisters offered to help, and I wouldn't let her. I wanted to do it, and throughout the years, I took care of everything. And it was probably, I took care of her probably for about 10 years. She lived in her own home and needed to have 24/7 care. So I arranged for all the staffing and making sure that there was somebody there all the time and hired staff, fired staff, took care of her finances, which were, when I first got involved, were an absolute nightmare. Took care of the legal work, which when I got involved was an absolute nightmare, everything. And even if she didn't agree with me about something, she always trusted my judgment and we could always talk. And so it was something that I wanted to do, and it was fine with me no matter how much time and effort it took. With my mother, however, it wasn't easy at all because, to be honest, we weren't all that close. Excuse me. My father died in 1992, and about a year before he died, he asked me if I'd noticed that my mother had gotten more forgetful. And I lived in Boston at the time. They lived in New York. And although I visited regularly, I really hadn't noticed. Besides, my parents had been married for 50 years at that point, so as with most married couples, it's hard to know where one person stops and the other person starts off. So it was really hard to see what Daddy was talking about. So when he asked me, I said that maybe she was just forgetful because she was so worried that he was so sick. And he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, well, maybe. And that was it. We never talked about it again. And it's something I always regret because our lives would have been so much easier after that. It would have been so much easier to help my mother if my father and I had talked about it when he first brought it up. But we didn't. And as I said, about a year later, he died. And at that point, it became obvious that my mother really was forgetful. And so I said to my sister, this time it's your turn, which she was more than happy to do. And it made perfect sense because she actually lived near my mother. However, my mother absolutely refused her help. I was the only one she would allow to help her. Maybe it's because I'd taken care of my grandmother for all those years. Maybe because I wasn't married and had no children, so my life was so pathetic, she thought that I needed something to do with my life. I don't know. But she would only let me do it, and I was fine with that. Now, initially, my mother was thankful for my help, especially when I was helping her with her finances, because like many women of her generation, my father had handled all the finances. And interestingly enough, when I took over the finances, her dementia actually got better. And I think that was because there was so much stress handling the finances and being so overwhelmed by it that when that went away, she actually got better. But unfortunately, as time went on, she continued to get worse, and I had to get more and more involved. And it got more difficult to get her to cooperate, especially with stuff she didn't want to do. The two biggies being getting her to stop driving and moving her into an assisted living community. And it didn't take very long to figure out that knowing what to do wasn't the hard part. The hard part was getting her to willingly agree to do what needed to be done and what was in her best interest. Unfortunately, as time went on, pretty soon every conversation turned into a battle. I tried everything, but it was really bad. We were arguing all the time, and I knew I couldn't just walk away, but I was crazed. And to make it more difficult, I had a full-time job where I was on the road 300 days a year. So a lot of the time I was having these horrible conversations with my mother, and we'd end up arguing, and there'd be, you know, anger and all that sort of thing. And then when I hung up the phone, then I had to get my head back into work. And it was just getting harder and harder. And I had a lot of questions, but I had no answers, and I knew I had to figure out some way to talk with her so she would willingly do what was in her best interest. And as I said, I had a lot of questions but no answers. Today, when you Google elder care, almost 4 million entries come out. I mean, talk about information overload. But back then, 25 years ago or 17 years ago when I started with my mother, the Internet hadn't even been invented, so I had to find the answers for myself. And really, no one was talking about elder care. In fact, I don't think the word elder care had been invented either. So I started to talk with anyone I could think of, professionals who worked with seniors, the seniors themselves, other baby boomers with elderly parents, and I continually heard the same things. Let me give you a couple of examples. First example, I don't know where my parents stand financially, and I'm really worried about the future, but they say it's not proper to discuss money with their children. And here's one from a daughter. My parents expect me to take care of them, in spite of the fact I have my own family and children and a job, but they're so grateful when my brother calls once a month. And here's one from a son. I want to help my mother, but she won't talk to me about personal things like her health because I'm a man, and she doesn't think it's proper to talk with a man, even her son, about her health. And here's one of my favorites. My parents keep everything. They even make scratch pads out of the backs of old scratch pads. In fact, My mother used to use up all the checks in her checkbook, and then she would keep the unused deposit slips and use those as scratch paper. So you can imagine what it was like when we were clearing out her house. And how about my mother's house is dirty. It's not safe. It's falling apart, but she won't even discuss moving or even accepting in-home help. And last but certainly not least, driving. Talk about explosive topics. My parents won't even go near that topic. Do any of those sound familiar to you? One woman, in fact, put it perfectly. I love it. She said, you know that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus? Well, men may be from Mars and women may be from Venus, but sometimes I think my parents are from an alternate universe. Now, they're all pretty common, even kind of funny, and maybe you can relate to one or more of them. But the fact is, many times it is like we're speaking a different language. Not because we're from an alternate universe, of course, although sometimes it feels that way, but because we're from opposite generations. And I discovered that once I understood the generational differences, where my mother was coming from, her behavior, her total willingness to do some things and her total resistance to do others, started to make sense. And once I adapted what I was saying to where she was coming from, talking with her got a lot easier. And over the years, it did get a lot easier. There were plenty of times when it wasn't, but it did get a lot easier. And let me also add that over the past 17 years that I've been helping my mother, even though we didn't start out very close and even though we had a lot of areas where it was very difficult, we really have become very close. And it continues to be a long and difficult journey, but it's all been worth it, especially now that our relationship is really on such a basic level with her advanced dementia. Anyway, soon friends, it was easier talking with my mother, so soon friends started calling me for help, and then friends of friends, and then total strangers. And 9 years ago, I left the corporate world, where I was the director of education and development for Lowe's Corporation and the dean of the corporate university. And helping families help their aging loved ones became my full-time focus. And I started AgeWise Living and became a generational coach. Now, we're going to stop right here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. By the way, I'd love to hear from you, so please do email me with any comments, questions, suggestions to barbara@agewiseliving.com. And if you'd like to know more about me and generational coaching, please go to my website, agewiseliving.com. And while you're there, please sign up for my weekly newsletter. See you shortly.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Do you know what it takes to reach massive success? Do you know that if you change your thinking, you can change your life? The Development Connection with host Amy Himes will give you the keys to reach ultimate success. Each show will feature topics to help you reach personal, career, and business ownership success. And you'll learn how to enlarge your vision to move ahead in life and within your organization. The Development Connection with Amy Himes is live every Monday on Voice America at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Listen today and move forward tomorrow.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to Age-Wise Living, and I'm Barbara Friesner, and right now we're talking about, well, we're talking about me. And then we're going to look at understanding the generations so you can successfully communicate with your aging loved ones so you can resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And shortly after I started Age-Wise Living, and started helping families who were going through what I was going through and helping my mother, we moved my mother into an assisted living community, which was a struggle, but we did. And when we moved her in, the management of the community changed, and the new management decided to bring in a hotel general manager to run the community. Now, their thinking, obviously, was that if the community had sleeping rooms and a restaurant, then it made sense to bring in a hotel general manager, which, frankly, was a disaster because it's the differences that make all of the difference. Just because there are rooms and food and beverage does not mean that it's exactly the same thing. And when I saw that, I realized that if hoteliers are going to go into the assisted living business, then they really needed some training to understand the all-important differences. So I developed a course called Senior Housing Management, and I approached Cornell University and presented the course and now teach seniors housing management to the hotel school. For the first 3 years, the students can take all of the basic hotel courses. And then in their fourth year, they take specialties like cruise ship management and spa management and prison management. And I teach seniors housing management at Cornell University. So now I know what you're going through because I've been there, and I'm still going through it. It is something that I continue to go through, although it's very different now from it was when I first started. It's very different working with my mother now than it was a year ago. But I think that's pretty much about who I am and how I got here. Let's see. No husband, no children, pathetic. Yep, that's my life. So what's next? Well, as I said earlier, I'm a generational coach, and I work with families, only the family members, never the seniors, and I work with family members who are struggling to help their aging loved ones resolve their critical elder care issues. And even though my tagline is elder care issues resolved by choice, not crisis, most of my families are in a crisis when they call me. And I think that's just human nature. People generally wait for a crisis. Or they're either in a crisis, or they've just gotten out of one and don't want to go through that again, or they see one looming right in front of them. And since all the generational coaching is by phone, I work with people all over the country, well, all over the world, actually, which also allows me to work with either one sibling, usually the caregiving daughter, because daughters and daughters-in-law are more likely to be doing the caregiving, and we'll talk more about that, why that is later. But better yet, I work with all the siblings, and we do that on a conference call, because which is absolutely the best possible way to go, because when you're discussing mommy and daddy issues, things can get very difficult. And working with all the siblings helps to get everyone on the same page and really gets them to cooperate. But I'd much rather help people avoid problems before they happen. So I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. I've published a book called The Ultimate Caregiver Success Guide, which you can see more about on my website, agewiseliving.com. And because of my mother's dementia, dementia is a particular passion of mine, so I created a CD called Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing, which is you can also learn more about on my website, and is why I'm so excited to have this radio show, so I can help families on a much broader scale. And that's why our show is going to focus on really a broad spectrum of elder care issues, one issue at a time. Each AgeWise Living show will focus on one topic and feature interviews with the best people out there to educate and clarify. And so not only will you learn how to help your aging loved one, you'll also learn how to help yourself. And to do that, we're going to cover everything from understanding dementia to what financial resources are out there, such as understanding Medicare and Medicaid and reverse mortgages and pooled income trusts and all of the things that you need in order to afford your aging loved one's care. Also, understanding all the different types of senior housing, such as assisted living or a senior community or a continuing care retirement communities. Also, how to find the right in-home care, how to find the right person, determine the level of care that's needed, how to find the right person, how to manage it so that it goes really well. And these are just a few of the programs that we're going to do. So we're going to start today on how you can communicate effectively with your aging loved one, because if we don't, all the other topics that I just mentioned will be interesting, but they won't do you a lot of good, because if you can't get your aging loved one to talk with you and cooperate, then it was all for naught. So what's really important is for us to talk about who your aging loved one is, where they're coming from mentally or generationally, emotionally, what's going on with them and where they're coming from. And so that's what are the first couple of shows. Today's and next show will focus on who your aging loved ones are so you can communicate effectively and resolve issues before they become a crisis, and also reduce your own stress and frustration, because what you're trying to do is so wonderful. And it's so horrible when it all blows up in your face. So really the focus is on helping your aging loved one and helping you. Now, as I mentioned, I'm a generational coach. And why generational? What is so important about the whole concept of generation? Well, it's human nature for everyone to think that everyone else looks at the world the way we do, especially our parents. I mean, after all, they're our parents, right? But the fact is, they don't. In fact, baby boomers and their parents are generational opposites. So a lot of times what that means is we say something and they respond in a way that just makes your head explode. And you think to yourself, what? Where did that come from? If we want to have good communication, because really it's all about communication, and we want them to cooperate, then we really have to adapt what we say and how we say it to where they're coming from. Remember, the important thing is if they want our help, then that's great and you can sort of work together because they're eager for your help. But if they're not eager for your help, then what you say and how you say it is going to be important to bring them around and to not alienate them or put up more roadblocks. So it's really important to learn where they're coming from and then to adapt your communication style to theirs. So let's take a look at our parents' generation. Now, a lot of people refer to our parents' generation as the Depression-era generation because, obviously, the Depression had a huge, deeply profound impact on them. However, if you think of them only in terms of the Great Depression, then you really miss the most important element to understanding them. And that is that our parents' formative years, from the age of birth until about 10 years old, was really at the end of the Victorian era. And people of the Victorian era, I mean, think about, when you think about the Victorian era, what do you think about? Those people were generally, and let me digress for a minute and say that when I say generally, what is true for most is not always going to be true for all. There are other factors, such as the region of the country they grew up in, such as the north, south, east, or west, whether they grew up in a city or the country, the economic status of their family, how long they lived in the United States, all of those kinds of things and others are, is going to have an impact on them. But generally, members of the Victorian era, first of all, were very private. They didn't discuss personal things, especially not about money or health, with outsiders, professionals, or their family, and certainly not their children. And they still don't. What that means is sometimes they're embarrassed or overwhelmed by us baby boomer children who talk easily about money and wills and funerals and our health and financial planning and all those kinds of things. And a lot of times, because they're so private, they're even as your as their children, you have to they have to know you better. They have to know you on a more personal level. I know that sounds really strange because they're your parents. But what's really important is to understand that that they are very private. Those are not things that you talked about. You didn't talk about it with anybody. So it's really important as a baby boomer to ease into the subject and to help them understand that you want to help and that it's the, and to talk with them on a one-to-one basis in a very private way and to find out what's going on with them. Now, we've started off with the first of the Victorian era information, and we're going to stop here again for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age Wise Living. By the way, again, I'd love to hear from you. Please do. Any comments, questions, or suggestions, please do email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. And if you'd like to know more about me and generational coaching, please go to my website, agewiseliving.com. And while you're there, I really hope that you will sign up for my free weekly newsletter. So I will see you shortly.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. You know,
we don't stop when the wheels are.
Dance is Life. Life is Dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at AgeWiseLiving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living, and I'm Barbara Friesner. And right now we are looking at understanding the generations, and the generations in question here is our parents' generation, so you can successfully communicate and therefore resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And understanding where our parents are coming from generationally is so important because their outlook on the world and our outlook on the world really are opposites. And if we want good communication, and really that's what helping them is all about, then, and we want them to cooperate, then we have to adapt what we say and how we say it to where they're coming from. And again, a lot of people refer to our parents' generation as the Depression era generation, and that's really important, and it had a huge impact on them. However, our parents were really born at the end of the Victorian era. And as I mentioned, the first difference is that they were very private, and so they didn't discuss personal things, especially not money or health with anyone, and especially not their children. I mean, you just didn't. And what is important is that a lot of times our parents will go to the doctor, and you call them up afterwards and you say, well, you know, how did it go? And did you tell them this? And did you tell them that? And they say, well, no, I didn't mention it. And you think to yourself, oh, my heavens, why did you even go to the doctor if you didn't mention the one thing? Well, a lot of times they don't, because it's personal, you know, and if the doctor doesn't sit and spend time with them, as most doctors can't these days, then it doesn't draw them out. The same thing holds true for us baby boomers when we want to talk to them. I mean, I was on a train a couple of weeks ago, and there was a woman on the train, another baby boomer like me, and she was sitting there and she was talking on her cell phone to a friend of hers, and she was talking about a doctor's appointment that she just went to, and just going on, and everybody in the car could hear her, and we're all kind of looking at each other, and I realized that I now knew more about her insides than I did about my own. The point is that we talk very freely, we talk very openly, but that's very scary, or it can be very scary to our parents. They're often embarrassed and overwhelmed by what we say and how we say it. The second element of the Victorian era is that it was a generation that was very proud. This generation, and you saw it later on with World War II, it's a very proud generation. They didn't ask for help, and they probably don't admit they need it, and they may not be very gracious about accepting it. And so it's very important that, you know, you think, well, I'm offering to help. Why aren't they appreciating that, or why aren't they even accepting it? The fact is, this is a very proud generation. You just very self-sufficient, very stoic, and prefer to take care of things themselves. So as I said, they may not ask for help, they may not admit they need help, and they may not be gracious about accepting it. So it's important to understand that as you start to work with them, to understand that just because it's the right thing to do, just because it's a wonderful thing to do, just because they need the help, doesn't always mean that they're going to be very excited about accepting it. This is also a generation that really respected and rarely questioned or even challenged authority. And when I say authority, I think, for example, people like doctors. In fact, especially doctors, rarely question or challenge doctors. So when they go to a doctor's appointment, for example, they may not ask questions. However, if something the doctor says scares them, they just won't do it. And sometimes they're overwhelmed by their baby boomer children and others who do challenge authority. So let's say you go to the doctor's appointment with them, and the doctor says something, and your mother doesn't say anything, so you jump in and you say, well, wait a minute, you know, why are you recommending that medication? What is that going to do? How is this going to help? Interestingly enough, if your parents believe you're challenging authority, especially a doctor, they may challenge you. They may oppose you. So it's very important as you're proceeding and as you're communicating to understand that you're just asking a question, and it may not offend the doctor, but it can be a very off-putting thing with your parents. So if they believe you're challenging authority, they may oppose you. And perhaps the most important one, this is a generation with very strictly defined male and female roles. The men were the breadwinners, they earned the money, and they were the professionals. They went out into the world, and they brought home the bacon. The woman's job was to fry it up in the pan. The woman's job was to be the homemaker and the mother and the care provider. And not just the care provider for children, but in that generation, remember, people lived, families all usually lived in a very close proximity to each other. So when they were caregivers, they took care of the parents. They took care of the aunts and uncles and the spinster aunt and the eccentric uncle and everybody else. That was their job. So the men went out, and when they came home, the home was a lovely place. They were served. They were taken care of. But they took care of the money. Not only did they go out and earn the money, but they also took care of the money as far as handling the books and paying the bills and that sort of thing. And remember I said earlier, when my father died, my mother was so overwhelmed by taking care of the finances because she's a very intelligent woman, but her whole life she'd never taken care of the finances. And the women, they were the homemakers and mothers, and they were the care providers. The home was their castle. The home was where they took care of everything. They cooked and they cleaned, and that was their job. That was their identity. What that means for the baby boomer children, first of all, that they expect their daughters and daughters-in-laws to be their care providers. And a lot of times they don't ask the daughter to be the care provider. They just expect it. And while the daughter may be perfectly willing to do it, what doesn't always sit so well is the whole concept of the expectation they're going to take care of it. And the expectation they're going to take care of it, even if they have their own children, even if they have a husband, even if they have a job, all of those things. It was the woman's job in our parents' generation. It was what women did, and they expect their daughters to do it. However, when it comes to finances and professional advice, they often turn to the son. Even if the daughter is the chief financial officer of a, you know, Fortune 500 company or something, they expect the daughter to be the caregiver, and they turn to their son for professional or financial advice. And the problem there is that can often create problems between the siblings. And the parents aren't necessarily doing it on purpose. It's just this is the way it is. This is the way the world works. And a lot of times, if the daughter's doing all of the work and she's right there, she's seeing what's going on day to day, and the son is somewhere else and not seeing what's going on, then he does not always understand what needs to happen as far as the finances are concerned. And what this also means is that many men may be more receptive to a man's opinion and therefore more comfortable with male professionals. That's not always the case, but that's often the case. They're more receptive to a man's opinion. What that also will mean, oftentimes, is that when it comes time, somebody needs to step in and help the parents. If you offer to help the mother with the finances, she's often, like my mother, is thrilled to give it up. But if you go in and talk to your father about finances and you want to help and all of that, you may find yourself hitting a wall of resistance because that's his job, that's his domain, and here he is at a point in his life when he's losing control over a lot of things in his life, and you're asking him to take over, you know, or to get in any way, or you're questioning him even. In his mind, he thinks you're questioning him about the finances. Conversely, your parents need in-home help. Maybe they need somebody to cook and clean. Maybe they need somebody to take care of the yard. Maybe they need somebody to come in and help with the cooking and the cleaning. A man may think that's wonderful. So long as somebody's doing it and it's not him, he's fine. A woman, however, will often be very resistant to that, resistant to having in-home help, and resistant to moving into an assisted living community because their home is their identity. So moving is something that now is really taking away their identity, just as helping with the finances with your father is, you know, sort of stepping into his identity. And oftentimes why you see with men, if they are either living alone or if they're caregiving for their wives, why they are so stressed. Because this is so out of their realm of experience. This is not something they do, just as my mother was overwhelmed by handling the finances because that's not something she ever learned how to do. Many men are overwhelmed with taking care of the house and taking care of the caregiving and taking care of the cooking and cleaning and all that sort of thing because that's not something they ever did either. What is important to understand is that this is the way they were raised. And when the Great Depression hit, they were pretty much out of their formative years. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. But right now, we're going to go away for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to Age-Wise Living. And again, please, I really would love to hear from you. Any comments, questions, or suggestions? So please email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. And for more information about me and generational coaching, you can go to my website, agewiseliving.com. So I will see you shortly.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you know what it takes to reach massive success? Do you know that if you change your thinking,
you can change your life?
The Development Connection with host Amy Himes will give you the keys to reach ultimate success. Each show will feature topics to help you reach personal, career, and business ownership success. And you'll learn how to enlarge your vision to move ahead in life and within your organization. The Development Connection with Amy Himes is live every Monday on Voice America at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Listen today and move forward tomorrow.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone.
I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
What can you tell me about SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA teaches you employability skills. So you know how to deal with people, you have teamwork, your resume is going to look awesome.
Well, it's important to know your technical skills, but not only that, to have soft skills, the skills of learning how to communicate with people.
On the web at SkillsUSA.org.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program. Call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. And I'm Barbara Friesner. And right now we are looking at understanding the generations so that you can successfully communicate with your aging loved one and so you can resolve your elder care issues by choice and not by crisis. And that is such an important thing to keep in mind as you are working with your loved one, is to really understand where they're coming from. And to do that, we're starting off by looking at the generational differences and remembering that their formative years, when they were 0 to 10, was at the end of the Victorian era. This was an era that was very private. This was an era, a generation that's very proud, a generation that respected and rarely questioned or challenged authority, such as doctors, and had very strictly defined male-female roles. And that's one that an awful lot of families come up against when they try to help. And even a lot of sons are struggling with that now because they want to help and their parents won't let them. Because it's the daughter's job. But it's what they're going through generationally. And when the Great Depression hit, our parents were pretty much out of their formative years. However, because the impact of the Great Depression was so profound, it also defined them. It didn't erase their Victorian values, it added to them. And that's why I call this group the Vicky D's, Victoria Depression Era Generation, the Vicky D's. And as a result of the Great Depression, money, or the lack of it, it really is a concern for our parents and rarely far from their minds. And so for most of them, money represents independence and control and safety and security if you have it. And I think that's probably Chesa Maria. You know, that's pretty true for everybody, but it represents safety and security and having that money, knowing that it's safe, knowing that having been through the bank failures and all the rest of it, knowing that it's really safe, and it also represents independence and control, knowing that they can determine their fate. And I think we're seeing that more and more now, and that's something that a lot of baby boomers that I work with have really been struggling with, because they're seeing now that their parents' money that was going to allow them a comfortable rest of their life is now in not such good shape. And so now our parents are even more stricken with fear in many cases, because they are looking at their money and they are seeing that what represented independence and control is now slipping away. They also, obviously, they don't want to lose control over it. And this is a group that won't take any chances with it. This is a group that did not believe in credit. Cash is king, and if you don't have the money, you don't buy. And what that can also mean is that, you know, you'd never risk the house. So for many, a reverse mortgage is considered a risk and therefore a taboo subject. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to know about it. You know, mortgage, they spent their entire lives paying off their mortgage. They don't want to talk about this. This is a real flash issue. They believe in waste not, want not, and they never throw anything away. And I can tell you, when we went through my parents' house, this was a marriage that had lasted 50 years. Both of my parents were only children, so everything from both parents' families all funneled down to them. And they were my parents were the most organized people you'd ever want to meet, but my goodness, there was so much stuff there because they never threw anything out. And, they even save an old toaster. Even though they get a new toaster, they'll save the old toaster because all it needs is a light, and they're sure they're going to get that fixed someday. It's got life left in it, just needs a light. We can't throw it out. This is valuable. It means something. And what that also means, I mean, yes, that's true, but what that also means is that it makes the thought of moving even more overwhelming. Because now what do you do with all of this stuff? There is so much of it, and it is hard to know, and, you know, a lot of it is junk, but they don't see it as junk anyway. So now they look at 30, 40, 50 years of living in that house and think to themselves, there's no way that we can, where do we even start? This is a group that believes in saving for a rainy day, and every tomorrow could be rainy. And this is also a group that, and many of whom don't trust their children, their baby boomer children, because we do tend to spend money pretty freely. And not only don't trust their children with their money, but they also don't even want to talk about it, especially if the last time the adult child talked about money was when they borrowed it in college and didn't repay it. You know, now they're saying, yeah, Mom, yeah, Dad, I'd like to have your power of attorney. And the parents are saying, I don't think so. So money, even though this is an issue on top of the Victorian era issues, so that you can see there are a lot of issues that they are dealing with that are really quite opposite from who we are. Now, hopefully, from this very brief overview I just gave you, you can see that our parents don't behave the way they do just to be ornery, although sometimes it feels that way. But they're really doing it for very legitimate reasons. It's because of their generational experience, and it's fundamentally who they are, and therefore how they act or react to what happens in their lives, especially when they're emotional. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you that this is an extremely emotional time for our aging loved ones. They're dealing with major life issues such as aging and death and dying of friends and spouses and the loss of their independence and loss of control over their lives and fear about their money. Now, we're going to be looking at where they're coming from emotionally and how to help them get rid of some of the emotion and get rid of some of the fear and be able to communicate more effectively. But suffice it to say that when they or anyone is emotional, what was ingrained during their formative years is always their fallback position. So the fact is they may have learned over the years to be a little bit more generous with their money and maybe to throw some more things out and maybe to be a little bit more outgoing with their children and, you know, to sort of loosen up a little bit. But when people are feeling very emotional in times like this, that's when they go back to their fallback position. And so it's extremely important to understand that. Now, what we're going to do, because we are very short on time, and I'm really sorry because that's about all the time we have today. Time went really, really fast, and I had a great time, and I want to thank you all so much for listening. But what we're going to do next week is, in addition to the Vicky D's, we're going to look at another generation, one people don't talk about. And so I hope that you will tune in. I had a great time. Thank you all so much. And please do tune in next week at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific time. And we will continue to look at the generational differences. And until then, have a terrific week and carpe diem, baby.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.